I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red and Miss Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Miss Podcast, Season 4, Episode 40. And for this one, we set the Wayback Machine to 1970 to the Petty Blue Plymouth Superbirds of Petty Enterprise. Number 40. Driven by, these are the high wing beasts, 426 cubic inches. They ran two of them. Mm-hmm. The King and number 43. And number 40, driven by Massachusetts native Pete Hamilton. Who went on to win the Daytona 500 that year. Who raced that, of all places. The long but beloved, forgotten Norwood Arena, which I grew up just up the street from, and could hear the cars running on Saturday nights. I kid you not.
I can
also had a drag. They also had a drag strip there.
I can hear Nate just beside himself listening.
I know. I know. It's NASCAR and a Massachusetts native.
Yeah. Yep, he's yeah. Just like I'd be yep. The one.
Yeah, but the big wing Superbirds. Mm. Oh man, unreal! All right, so there we go. Nate's not here, but that's what we got for you. Mm-hmm. A little bit of Massachusetts stock car his legends and legendary cars for number 40. Tonight's episode, we're gonna talk Formula One because that's all there is. We're not even going to talk about the sprint race. There's no need.
Not really.
Nope, no need. We will have some news and notes in that. So let's delve into it. And all I can say is I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, it's still not over.
No.
I mean, like, this is what we can spend a lot of time talking about, but I mean, like, the real simple aspect of it is McLaren just botched it. And yep. And I mean, yeah, Zach Brown said it the best. If they don't win it, he hopes that it's because someone else beats them. But right now they are beating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of his worst nightmares coming true at once right now.
And I mean, like, going into this race, Oscar was clearly on pace all weekend, the fastest car.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, essentially, probably, I mean, was the odds on favorite to win the race?
Yes.
And, you know, the 25 lap tire rule. So, I mean, basically, you got to build that into your strategy. It's like, what if something happens? You know, what do we do to maximize, you know, make right pit stops and everything? You would have thought teams would have done this.
Well, we know one team did it.
We, yep. Well, we know one team didn't. We know 17 other. Well, whatever. We knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I really feel for Oscar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because McLaren didn't do what they should have done, it basically screwed him out of, you know, they got what they wanted and they screwed him out of the title.
Yeah, I think regardless, if the small percentage chance of it actually happening does get pulled off where Max wins the championship next week.
Which it's about like 12%.
Yeah. Again, like it's been like this from the start of this run. Like, it's slim.
Right.
It's probably not going to happen. It's not, but we've been saying this every week, and now we're at the point of he's in the closest spot possible.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say the closest spot possible, but like he's probably in a spot where no one would have thought he would have been this close.
100% agree.
Given how all the races had played out. And yeah, you can sit there and say, well, they screwed Oscar out of a championship, but I mean, man, if Max pulls it off, they screwed them both out of a championship.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wouldn't even you can't even say it was favoritism at that point, because like then according to Papaya rules, like, yeah, if you're going to treat each driver fair and equally, then that means neither one of them wins the championship, because you can't let one get it without the other one losing, like that, because that's not fair, right? I'll say I stole that line from someone else that I saw say that, but like, man, it's true though. They're playing around with the play stupid games, win stupid prizes aspect of it all. And it just,
I mean, you're going into the race, you've been fast all weekend. You know, it really comes down to your driver's executing on the start here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your pole sitter driver does and goes zooming off, and you know, your championship leader does what he's done all year, mucks the startup.
Well, okay. In fairness, I think second place is in a weak spot on this track, because it's on the dirty side of the road, and two, it is easy for the driver on the outside to complete the pass around the outside in turn one. It's not favorable. But all that said, it's not McLaren could have finished 1-2 at the end of this race, regardless of the order you put them in. But you could have, with the pace that the three cars showed they had over the rest of the field, I mean, it was not even going to be close.
Right.
And they could have easily, you know, pitted Lando first, make Max react, and then pit Oscar a lap later, kind of deal. If Oscar was, or if Max was still, you know, within reaching distance of Oscar at that time, like it's 2v1 at that point. And
right.
That's
how this whole thing is.
Right,
you know?
And we've seen this before with Max versus Mercedes, and you know, Mercedes being able to pull it off sometimes, but you know, Red Bull having learned enough to to be the ones where they want to act first, regardless of what Mercedes does and whether, you know, it is the fastest outright. But I mean, if you're fighting just for track position the whole time, like you're playing that game.
Yeah.
And so
100%.
Yeah. Like Oscar should have won that race handily. And, you know, Lando probably would have, if he didn't get second, he would have been third in the end. Like,
yep.
Really no issue there. And also finishing second or third to your teammate, where you still had a decent point spread going into the last race. And again, like, you're in the fastest car, so you should be finishing for a second or third at the very least.
Yeah.
And he's got enough of a lead to play the points game where, all right, like, he can go win. It's not a big deal. I'll just take the points and go home. Like, and he's not pressured by anyone else with the pace that the car has, ideally, you know, in this scenario. But, I mean, man, like... After everything's said and done, Max comes out on top. Oscar finishes second. So, good recovery for him, even though, like, they got screwed out on the strategy call that they made. But, I mean, Lando just fell off in that second stint, and it didn't help him. It would have been, assuming Kimi didn't go off in like that last lap or two, then the only thing that would have changed is I think Max could. It could have afforded a scenario where he wins and then Lando finishes third and they would have been tied, but Max would win on tiebreaker because of number of wins. Which, also, this is the other crazy thing, too, is all three drivers are tied on the number of wins for the season.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seven each. Yep.
So, and the tiebreaker for seconds goes to Lando right now.
Right.
So, like, but that's, there is no point of points tiebreakers in that scenario now, or how we have it now, so we don't have to worry about that. But, I mean, still, it's crazy that this whole thing just boggles my mind that we're even here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here. I'm here for it.
And it's more so that we're here because we're here and we're talking that Verstappen is in this fight. Like, that's
and,
the thing.
And the thing, and the reason we're really here, it's not the two McLaren drivers.
No.
It's McLaren.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is a loss of words because it's just like you're if they throw this away, it's going to be more of this frustration, but more of just this shell shock of you actually blew it. And yeah. Like, what's wrong with you? You couldn't have handed him. You couldn't have handed Max an easier way to win the chance, or I can't even say easier way. It's just ridiculous that you'd even give it up.
You've given him a path to the championship.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
I mean, God forbid that. You know, because I don't know really. No, I'm not saying this, but Oscar is pretty pissed off. I mean, this is what is coming out of the paddock.
I would be too. I mean,
so like let's put it this way. He is not going to make it easy for He's not going to make it easy. And I'll be honest with you. I say, you know, if they tangle, that's just going to be.
Yeah. I mean, because the situation that everyone keeps throwing around is, five laps to go kind of deal. And it's Max in the lead. We'll pick one of the Mercedeses in second. And then Oscar's in third and Lando's in fourth.
Right.
Like, does McLaren tell Oscar to move over so Lando can win the title?
Yeah, it's
and
just
I mean with how the team has played the game, I would say they wouldn't do this. But if they did do it, man, is that going to be? It's going to be bad publicity.
Yeah,
and you're going to sit there and you can put all the question marks on each of Max's world championships of 2021 he needed Massey, 22 there was development. Or I'm sorry, the cost cap infringement kind of deal, and then I forget what the last one was, but like you can sit there and try and throw this kind of shade at and question each of Max's championships, but like at the end of the day, it was not manipulated by the team.
No,
to say like. Switch it around or anything like that. Like even when Checo was close to Max, like there was never team orders to tell Checo to move over or anything like that. None of that. Like you just run and that's what it is. And you know, once Max got beat by Checo a couple times, like that's when you know the line came out even more and. Checo didn't win a race anytime after that. So,
yeah.
And it's not to say that there couldn't have been some car development upgrades that were more tailored to Max than they were Checo, and you know you can play the favoritism that way. But like on track, like that game was not played, and. This would just be shades of Ferrari with team orders if they even go down this path.
Right.
I wouldn't expect Oscar to do it. I don't know what he's. I really don't know any good reason that he would convince himself that would be okay. Other than he might have he might benefit somehow on the contract side of staying at McLaren, but I mean, even that, like, do you even want to stay at McLaren after some of this? Like, that's kind of the other question too. I know it's the best car and it's really hard to just sit there and say you're going to walk away from that, but, man, this is a tough situation, and like you would rather just sit there and as a driver, I would think saying like I got the team screwed me out of a championship, because then at least you can have something like that to cope with it, I guess.
Yep.
But I mean, with this, it's like this is just incompetence.
Nope, complete.
I mean, every race is one off the track, in a sense, as much as it is on the track, because like you can tell the difference of how good a driver and also a team is in general by the way that they're communicating and answering any questions. And like with Max and Red Bull, like it's all business, and like there's no doubt about it that what they've been able to achieve is because they just focus on themselves and what they can, like Max has said, like what they can control and do the best that they can. That's it. And the best way to maximize your points haul is, no pun intended, to just not make any mistakes on your end. And even if no mistakes on your end is, you know, at best third on a day or fifth, like that's all you had. But to then sit there and like for Qatar, like I was figuring Max probably would have walked away third going into this race. Even before like we started racing this weekend, like I figured Max probably would have been third. Well, actually, hold on, let's go to the predictions from last week. Yeah, I had Max in third. So anyways, but when you get a result higher than what you thought you were going to get, especially Williams after this weekend, like someone else like screwed up big time. So, it's a gift, and you know, you take it and move on from there. With Max and Red Bull this season, rather than, you know, shining any or focusing on like the race in Spain where it's like, oh well, you know, if he didn't lose his temper and crash into George, like he would have had more points there. It's like, yeah, but I guess within context for that race, like I think Max was probably mentally checked out of the championship anyways at that point because he didn't even expect them to be fighting for it. And then the only other big race really for Max was, in terms of results, was Austria, where he got taken out by Kimi. But that's, you know, no fault of Max on that end. Like it's just unlucky. So yeah, to sit here and say like, wow, we still have a shot at this at the end of the season is crazy given how dominant the McLaren car is across the whole season. Yep. So,
well, I just don't really understand it. I mean, you know, it's not like if they came out, you know, if they pitted, right? You know, Oscar's probably going to retain first. Max probably second, right? And then Lando, it could be third, fourth, or fifth, all right? Just because of that incoming traffic issue.
Yeah.
And and he would have been the double stack. But he had pace to get by those cars.
Right.
You know, and that would have been in front of him.
And they still had another pit stop to go.
Exactly.
So even if Lando got held up, he probably would have tried to do an undercut or overcut, whichever way.
Right.
Well, actually, no. I'm sorry. And if McLaren did pit, it would have been really hard for him to. He would have had to do the move on the track.
Yeah, but he had the pace to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
not 100% certain he had the pace on Max, because for some reason it seemed like Max got the car working. You know.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyways, but I just right now I'm sitting here going, I'm laughing because Max is in this. I'm hurting because Oscar's just getting screwed out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the McLaren guys are like sitting there like, you know, Zach and Andrea Stella are sitting there, oh, you know, and it's like in the back of their minds, they're going exactly what we want. Now we got Lando to win this thing. You know, they, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just. It's just, you know, it's dumb. But anyways, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, now the one drawback for Red Bull is they don't have a second car in the fight. You know?
Well. It might not be able to compete on track, but who knows? Maybe another Crashgate scandal will...
I don't want to go there. I mean, the one thing that could come into play here is if the two Mercedes light it up, you know, and they're in it, and, you know, Lando's having his usual, well, if Lando's not on it, like, going into this race, I'm going to tell you exactly what two guys are going to be on it, Max and Oscar.
Yeah.
Because Lando's whole thing right now is I can't make a mistake.
Right. Well, he can finish third. He can run to be third, but he has no safety net at that point.
He has no safety net because if the two Mercedes, like I said, if they light it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And again, this is all wishful or hopeful thinking at this point. Like, my prediction is like Lando's going to win the race and win the title that way, you know, and just kind of like put it without.
I think Lando wins it by finishing. I think he finishes third. And Max are on. I'm going to take Max to win it.
Mm-hmm.
But
should we just do picks at this point?
Should we?
We're already discussing it. We can just go further from here.
Let's go. Hold on. Nate's picks are in?
Yes.
I think he was kind of wishing he was here to discuss this.
I'm sure he
would. I'm trying to find his picks.
Oh, I got him.
Did he do it on his? He did it on Instagram, didn't he?
No. No, he sent it to us.
Oh, no, he did. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
He's got Max winning. Leclerc finishing second and Russell finishing third with Yuki as his dark horse. I mean, he's really just hoping for McLaren to really bottle it at this point. I would be sitting there laughing if they did that. But like,
yeah.
Nate, your wishful thinking also implies that Ferrari's going to show up.
Right.
And I think that's 100%. That's a tough ask.
Tough
too.
Sell.
That's my only criticism with that. Like, I could definitely see the two Mercedes, you know, getting in and splitting the difference. Like, that would be a story for sure. But I mean, I think that would also, again, like, McLaren's got to miss big time, and I don't see that with these guys on the last race of the year. I'm going really boring with my picks. Like, Lando's going to win outright. Piastri will follow up second, and then Max third. My dark horse, I'm going to ride on the coattails of Qatar and say Sainz. Because at this point, it seems like Williams is the only one with some magic to get some good results. But yeah.
All right. I am going to take Max to win. I'm going to go George second, Kimi third, Oscar fourth, Lando fifth. And my dark horse is going to be Isaac Hadjar.
Ah, yes, the new Red Bull driver for next year.
The new Red Bull driver, yes.
Yeah. So I guess we can quickly touch on that too. Yuki's out for next year.
Well, he is the test and reserve driver.
Yes. So he's been demoted to that, I guess we'll say.
Yes.
Hadjar has been promoted to the top team, and then Lawson's going to remain at Racing Bulls with the 2026 Rookie of the Year. Is it Arvid Lindblad?
Lindblad. Yep.
Yeah. I gotta see that name more. I've only seen it a couple of times.
Yeah. No, he's gonna be
Arvid
that guy.
Lindblad. Okay.
Lindblad.
Okay. Yep. Another Brit on the grid.
Oh yeah. Guys at Sky Sports are loving it.
Yeah. So once again at Silverstone they have another they have even better odds at this point of a British driver taking the win. But also we got brand new regulations for next year. Speaking of regulations, it only dawned on me today that this race is going to be the last race with DRS.
With what?
The DRS system, drag reduction system.
Oh.
So, because next year they're moving to more of an active aero setup. So I guess we'll see how that goes. But yeah.
Well, there you go. No DRS.
Yeah. There'll still be a similar DRS mode where the wings trim themselves out, but I don't know if they're going to rename them something more conventional, but the two aero modes are X mode and Z mode that I remember looking at the regulations for. I cannot remember which one is which, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely have to see how that goes.
Let's just kind of see what's out there and around the world here. Very excited here. Eduardo Barrichello will be joining the IMSA paddock. As a driver for Harder Racing's Aston Martin GTD car.
Nice. Well, didn't he run with Harder Racing in WEC?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's coming to IMSA.
Awesome.
Excuse me. So that's exciting. Still one Aston, though, next year in IMSA. GTP.
Yeah.
Hoping to go two, but we'll see. Rexy. It's gonna be a Lego kit.
Oh yeah, that's right. I saw that today.
That'll be purchase. Exciting. Yeah. Over in IndyCar, Stingray Rob is back in the second seat. Yunko's Hollander. And It's getting really slow now. It's getting really slow.
Supercar has picked up their new
champion. Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's finish the show on that controversy.
Yeah.
Now, I do not have an axe to grind with Chaz.
No.
Chaz Monson.
Yeah, all right. I think this is how a lot of people feel.
Yeah. I personally love the way he drives. However, during the season, Brock Feeney was clearly the best driver.
Right.
In the Repco Supercar Series. And he was, you know, going into the playoffs, he was the guy. And it came down to the last three races at Adelaide? I think it was. Anyways, came down to the last weekend, and basically, you know, Chaz put it together and Brock didn't, and Brock had a mechanical in the final race, and that's how the point the championship swung. I mean, this is why I don't like playoffs. Because the guy who is the strongest guy all year got nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
I mean, but here we are after X number of Formula One races, and we have three guys in the title hunt. If this was a playoff, God, I don't think this would have happened.
No.
So.
Sorry, I'm just trying to look into this because I remember for F1 this weekend, some teams might not have fulfilled their rookie test sessions in FP1.
Yeah,
and Piastri's car is one of them.
Oh, so he's only Jesus! Did they screw him? Wow.
But one of the Red Bulls also needs to fulfill this as well. But I think it's Tsunoda's car.
I think it's Tsunoda's car too.
And I have a feeling it might be well, the Racing Bulls will probably put Lindblad in. Although he's already done two sessions, so I don't know if you can do more than two sessions in the car. Oh, wait, no, yeah, you can do that. Because Rio Hirakawa has done that. So Lindblad will probably be in Racing Bulls, and then I would guess that Ayumu Iwasa, who was just crowned the Super Formula champion a couple weeks ago, to be in the other Red Bull car.
Mm-hmm.
So Aston also has a driver they're going to put in, and then it looks like Williams and Ferrari also have a seat they need to fill as well, if they haven't done that already.
So there's still a lot of those going on, huh?
Yeah, at least from what I can see on this list, but
yeah.
When was this? Oh, this was just updated today. Okay, no. Racing Bulls has fulfilled theirs, but it looks like Red Bull, Ferrari, and McLaren need to. Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, and Aston Martin are doing that today or this weekend. Aston is doing it with two drivers this week. That's interesting. All right. Well, Williams and Racing Bulls are doing. Sorry, this is a really weird notation. So, I think McLaren have just announced today who they're putting in, but Ferrari and Red Bull, I would assume it's Pato probably getting the nod. Or maybe they'll put the newly crowned F2 champion Leonardo
Fornaroli.
Yeah, Fornaroli. In the seat, because he just got announced as one of their development drivers. So he could be an option as well, but all this said and done, Piastri's got to sit out FP1 right. session. So not great there for him. But rules are rules, and this is something you gotta figure out. Case here, you're doing this.
That's true.
I saw over in IndyCar land, Stingray Robb signed up for another season with Yonkos.
Yep. Still, Dale Coyne's the last one.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was searching for this FP1 list. Did you wrap up Supercars? I kind of phased out on that. Sorry.
What?
Did you wrap up the Supercars?
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it can't. You know, I mean, Massa did what he had to do to win in the current format, but did he deserve to win this for the season top? No. That all Brock Feeney. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, it's. I think the other case to be made is this wasn't the only championship that this happened in, where a driver who wins in the playoffs isn't the one who dominated all season. So, yeah, just another reason why I am not a fan of the playoff system. So.
Yep.
And it's not to say that the champions of the current system didn't do what they needed to do to be champion. However, it just doesn't feel right given how dominant another team has been. And I get
that's 100% true.
I get you can make the case of, you know, all the stick and ball sports, like how, you know, there's an upset winner in the playoffs or whatever, but I in those sports, ooh, it's two teams. At in the championship, it's just two teams facing each other. It's not like racing where you have upwards of 30 people on the track at the same time.
Right.
And then you can, and then even if you say that there's teammates out there, say that there's two per team, then there's 15 teams out there. But who's battling at for the championship at the end? Only upwards of four with how this format has gone in most of these playoff systems. And so you have, you know, the other 26 drivers just driving around for what? Nothing. I mean, really, at the end of the day, like, there really isn't anything to be fighting for. Anyways, I don't want to beat a dead horse because I think we've been around this enough. Abu Dhabi is this weekend.
So we're on to this weekend.
I know Asian Le Mans series is also going to be picking up soon.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, where are the dates for this? All right, yeah, 2 weeks. So after F1 will do Abu Dhabi this weekend, and then next weekend we get a doubleheader at Malaysia in Sepang.
Yeah.
So for the Asian Le Mans series, so that'll be a nice race to check out.
Nice segue.
Yeah. But then, you know, we'll have a couple weeks off. Actually, really like a month off. The next big race will be the 24 in Daytona. Before the Asian Le Mans Series has their, I want to say second round, but it's technically the third round because they do two races a weekend.
And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.